Hi everyone, I'm Corey Schumann. Today we're going to cover lab 3 of the Solar Light Firestarter lab exercises. This one is XAMLs, panels, and controls. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's open up the starter project. Here it's a very simple Silverlight application. As you can see, there's the Silverlight in the Solution Explorer. There's this Silverlight project and the web project. In the web project, we'll set that as a startup. And then here we have our main page app. Something that will be a little different than if you start from scratch is sample data. And the reason why we're using sample data is to populate a data grid. You can use services or XML or JSON objects, however you get your data. Where this lab just is focused on getting XAMLs, XAML, focuses on XAML panels and controls. So first thing first, we're going to create a header on top with a data grid in the bottom. Then we're going to create an edit page, which is a new user control. And then we're going to show how to use a stack panel to make a menu. Looking at the main page, what I want to do is separate the top from the bottom. And if you can take a close look, there's a blue line. And as I move my cursor over this left bar, this, if I click, what will happen is it creates a blue line. Looking in XAML, let's open up XAML, you can see it creates rows. And if I create many, you can see each row definition, a new row definition is added. When Control Z, conversely, if I click up here, I can add columns. So since I just want two rows and no columns, that I've achieved my goal. However, what I want to do is set these both to auto. And what auto will do is instead of setting it to a static height, auto will adjust the height depending on the size of the content inside. So now that we have our two rows, let's click in here. You can see the blue line is gone. And the blue line is gone because there's no content. So let's go ahead and add some content. To add a header, we're going to use a text block over here from the toolbox. You can either click and drag it, or my preferred option is actually just to simply double-click. And double-click will add a text block in the top left. So here we're going to call this our sample application is going to be for contacts. So change the text down here in properties to contacts application or contacts app. And let's go to 100%. I'm going to work with the visual editor in Visual Studio. It's also known as CIDR. And I'm going to try to get that to 100%, or as close to 100 as possible, so we can kind of see what we're taking a look at. Down here are all your properties, and I'll move this up so that way we can kind of see our properties panel. Certainly you can do all this in XAML, and we'll take a look at that after we've worked with the properties window. Here we can change the font size from 11 to, say, 24, which gives us a really nice big font. And let's change the height, delete, and auto. This is the resulting XAML. As you can see, it creates a text block with grid at 1, and we actually want that in the first. Grids are zero-based indexed, so really I want this at the very top, so I'm going to put that as grid 1, horizontal alignment left, margin looks good, name looks good, text, and font size. Perfect. Now we've added our header. We're going to add a data grid to display, to see our data. The way to do that is, again, go back to the toolbox on the left-hand side and double-click data grid. You can see it adds it to the top left. When click and drag and kind of move this around, again, XAML is created down here. Something that's important to note is, instead of simply data grid, if we take a look at the text block, there's nothing preceding the text block tag. However, for data grid, there's SDK semicolon. And what that means is, if we take a look at the top, a definition in XML namespace was added, SDK, and it tells the runtime where to find the data grid. And so we can see that the data grid here, or SDK, is part of XAML presentation, and this is the definition. If we come back down to data grid and take off the SDK, the tooling, Visual Studio doesn't know where to find data grid, and the runtime won't compile, and it will ask, where is your data grid? So that's something important to take a look at with the data grid. But as I was saying, with a project, over here is sample data, and already defined in a later lab. Whoops, it looks like there's another row definition added. Let's remove that. In another lab, we'll talk about data binding. Just to highlight, there already is a data context here, which means that the data is already ready to go for our application. So if we take a look at the data grid, come back over to properties, what we want to do here is set the item source. The item source is the data that will come into the data grid. So we're going to look here at item source in the property panel, and then click the advanced properties button. Then apply data binding and collection. Collection as part of the sample data is already recognized. Click that, double click that, and the item source is set. Now to add rows, you can do this by hand in XAML, or you can use the properties window. We'll use the properties window and show the resulting XAML. So first thing that we'll do is, in columns, expand the collection, add a new text column, add, and then we'll bind it to name. Okay, so now you can see the name over here. Let's go back and add another column. So we'll add a template column, and we're going to add the image for the template. There is already, click add, there's already an image template defined, which I'll show you in XAML here in a second, which defines simply an image. Double click that, and let's add a header image, so that way we can let our users know what the column is. Then we'll build this, build solution. And now we have our image and our first name. In XAML, what has happened is that within the data grid, there are the columns. And then within the columns, there's the text column or the template column. And as I was saying, let's look up in user control resources, and there's something called a data template with an image inside. The image is how we're going to get the image in there. Let's remove this data grid, and I have all the columns defined over here that I'm just going to simply drag and drop onto here. Save it. And let's take a look. As you can see, there's name, image, address, all of our contact information. Save, and we can run it. And we have our data. This completes exercise one. We'll now move on to exercise two, which is adding a way, adding a new user's control for adding a contact. And then exercise three will add a stack panel to manage the menus. So for exercise two, we're going to add a new user control called edit details, and then add some UI there and add it back to the main page. to add a new user control, right-click on your Silverlight project, click Add, Add New Item. Silverlight user control is there by default. There's a list of other templates you can do, but we don't have to worry about that for adding user control. And then type in Edit Contacts. Edit Contact.xaml. A new user control is created. Here, I want to add a bunch of text boxes, and I already have some code to do that. And let's take a look at the resulting. So there's a text box for entering a name, image, address, email, phone number, and website. And then to the bottom of this, I'm going to add a new a button. Again, I prefer double clicking. And we'll put that bottom down here and call it, going to move this back up, the properties window back up, and call it content is going to be add con. We'll just call it add. And then here, add button. This setting, defining the name here, lets the user know, or lets us know from the code behind, how to reference this button. Last piece of business here is after the user has entered their name, image, location, etc., and they click Add, what we want to do is add that to the data set. So what we want to do is handle the click event. Much like ASP.NET, you can double-click this button, and in the code behind, a click event is created for you. Here, for simplicity, we'll just make a comment to ourselves, add contact to the data set. Perfect. So now our edit contact user control is good to go from a UI perspective. So now on main page, what we want to do is add that edit user control. Well, how do we do that? Can we drag and drop from the solutions board? No. Is it in the toolbox? Not yet. In order for it to get in the toolbox, what we need to do is come to build, rebuild the solution. And you'll see over here in the toolbox, the panels, a new tab is created with edit contacts. So we can just simply drag and drop that on, or double click, and size as necessary. And we have our add contacts panel. In fact, we'll call that add contact panel. Now, we don't want this, we don't have any way to open or close this. So let's add a button. And this is the first button we're going to add to a menu. We're going to add a toggle button to the top that will open the edits, the add contacts panel, and then close if you click it. So in the lab document, if you can't find toggle button in the toolbox, there's a way. Simply right-click, choose items, and then click Silverlight panel. Check out the lab document for further details on how to add the toggle button, because by default, it's not there in the toolbox. I've already added it. So I'm going to click and drag it right here. I'm going to put it, let's take a look at the XAML and make sure it's in that first row. And that first row will be defined by grid.row equals 0. So let's take a look, make sure. By default, it will go there. I want to explicitly say that. So grid.row equals 0. I'm going to actually remove the height. And so before we went to the properties panel to change all these settings, here we're going to work directly in XAML just to get our hands a little dirty with some of the XAML. Horizontal alignment, I actually want it to be on the right side, not the left. Right. Margin, I'm going to remove the margin. Name. This name, toggle button 1, corresponds to the name given over here. So if I change it here, add contact button. You can see it changed the name here. Vertical alignment's top, that's good. Width, and I'm going to remove width because I want the content of the button to determine the height and the width, which we should probably give it some content and name it add contact. All right. So at this point, we have the button. Now, when the user checks the button, what we want to happen is to show the user control, and when they uncheck it, to hide it. So in a later lab, the Blend Lab, you'll see how to use behaviors to not have to write any code. Instead, you can use states. For this, let's add two event handlers, one for checked and one for unchecked. So before, we double-clicked the button and it created the click event handler. Here, again, in the properties panel, let's take a look here in events, and we can double-click. This will give us a list of events for the toggle button. The two that we're going to be worried about here are the unchecked event and the checked event. So by double-clicking this, it will open up the code behind, and it will add the checked event. Let's do the same thing for unchecked. And here in the checked, we're going to show the edit panel. And then for unchecked, we're going to hide the edit panel. And fortunately, I have that here in the toolbox. I'm going to click and drag that right here. So as you can see, the checked, unchecked, add content panel.visibility to visible. And then when it's unchecked, visibility is collapsed. Let's go ahead and run this. So we have our header, we have the data grid, we also have the user control here. And the user control is a bit of a problem because we want it to be hidden at first, and so we'll go back and change the default visibility. And then up here in the top right, there's the add contact. So checked, unchecked, and you can see the UI hiding and showing. Let's go ahead and by default, change the visibility for our user control. We can do it in the properties panel, or we could come here into XAML and say visibility equals collapse. So it's collapsed by default. Save it. A few pieces of cleanup. Let's change the data grid to stretch all the way across. Usually what will happen is it's either related to margins or size. So horizontal alignment, we actually want it to stretch. And let's run this again. The user control should be hidden by default. User control stretches all the way across. We check that. Our user control shows up. And then we uncheck it, and it hides. This completes exercise 2, which was adding new user control and adding that to the main page, as well as working with event handlers. So exercise 3 is working with a stack panel. We've worked with a grid so far, and we'll work with a stack panel and extend the menu. So let's begin exercise 3. So far, we've worked with grids. Grid is by default the layout route. Let's take a look at the XAML, go all the way to the top. Grids are probably the most common panel. There's also the canvas, the border, scroll viewer, and stack panel. A stack panel is really nice because it will align the children elements either horizontally or vertically and right next to each other. So, for example, we have one menu option here called Add Contact. But say, for example, we wanted to add a couple more. For example, Home. Let's put a button here for Home. Double-click it. And then another one for contact. Question is, when I double-clicked it, where did it go? And it's actually right up here as the top left. So let's move both of those buttons over. And then let's add a stack panel, again, by double-clicking. And then I'm going to move the stack panel up here and just start adding these menu items here. We're going to name this button, instead of button, we're going to name it home. And then about us are two fairly common menu names. We'll let, for both of these, can actually highlight two buttons and come in here and delete the height and width and let the content of the button dictate its height and width. So, and it's, you see it stretching. The problem with this stack panel here is that they're vertical. What we want is a horizontal. So there are two ways to do this. You can either come into XAML, but there are two orientation options. There's vertical or horizontal. So if we move it to horizontal, you can see it changes the contents. Let's make the height and width. The reason why I keep changing the height and width is I don't want anything to be static size. Rather, I want the content of the stack panel to dictate the height and width. So let's move this over to the top right, where the menu should be. And let's change it to horizontal. Let's change this again. There we go. So now when we run this, the stack panel will take care of all the alignment for us, which is fantastic. There's also the wrap panel. You can see it still works. There's also the wrap panel, which is much like the stack panel, except it wraps the overflow. But the stack panel is very powerful. Lets you or enables you to forget about how things are laid out and takes care of all the dirty work for you. So that concludes the end of exercise 3 and of our lab samples, panels, and controls. Check out the other labs for further details, such as data binding and how to work with Blend, amongst others. Thanks for joining us.